Blog Talk Radio.
Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for your listening enjoyment. I am Sheena Benjamin Wise. I'm your family law attorney here in Pompano Beach, Florida, and I sit next to my co-host.
I'm Dr. Billy Eisenberg. I'm family therapist.
And tonight we have an exciting show for you with a very special guest. His name is Michael Joyner, Dr. Michael Joyner. I'm going to talk to you about the struggles parents may face in then divorce litigation. But before we get started with
I had a question, Sheena.
Yes,
I'm
ma'am.
Sitting here in your office in 400 East Atlantic Boulevard, and I can see so many flowers.
Ah.
What happened here today? Flowers and wine. It was any celebration Monday?
Yes, I had an office launching on Monday evening, and I had invited so many of my friends and colleagues, and we celebrated the, you know, relaunching of the practice. It was a marvelous event. Thank you, everyone out there listening who attended. It was marvelous. I had a wonderful time. Dr. Billy was one of the guests.
Yes, and it was amazing, the flower and a lot of people. It was really a great evening. But tell us, Sheena, what you do. What's happening in this office?
Well, you know, like I said, I'm a family law attorney. I practice divorce and custody matters in Florida, primarily serving the Broward, Miami-Dade, and Palm Beach area. And you can locate me in Pompano Beach, Florida, with the phone number 739737. So thank you very much, Dr. Billy.
And I'm Dr. Billy Eisenberg. I'm a clinical psychologist and family therapist. And my phone number is 561-271-7106. And I don't believe in long-term therapy. And I guarantee you start to see results after the first session. And you can call us today. It's 347-945-7246.
Once again, I want to remind our listeners that this is not an advice show. This is a conversation that we're having, intellectual converse between parties that have experiences in divorce, trauma, pain, or starting over, life transitions. And we just want to hear from you and encourage everyone to call in and make any contributions you can. You can also text us, email us, or tweet us your questions. You can email me at Sheena Benjamin Wise, I'm sorry, FBWise at WiseLawOffice.com or Dr. B Eisenberg at gmail.com. You can tweet us at FBWiseLaw or at Dr. Billy with one L. All right, everybody.
And today is a special topic, and let's introduce us, Dr. Michael Joyner. Michael.
Yes, first of all, I just want to say thank you for inviting me here. I am very excited to be here with you. My name is Dr. Michael Joyner. I'm a hand and microsurgeon in private practice in Boca Raton, Florida, and I'm the author of a book called Forever My Daddy Denied. The book is, I'm also lead a foundation called FMD Grand Foundation that you'll hear more about, and it's tied in with the book as well. So once again, I'm just excited to be here. Thank you for bringing me on board.
And I would just say one thing in the book. I didn't finish reading the book, but I'm almost there. It's very easy to read. It's very easy to understand. And you know what? Let's talk about the book. Tell us about the book.
Well, that's one thing about the book. I mean, I definitely wanted something that you could pick up and just feel as though we're having a conversation, as we're having a conversation now. The book itself covers a lot of lessons learned when we talk about really parental alienation syndrome. That's one of the biggest things in the book. The subtitle of the book is Money, Power, and Legal Lessons Learned by a Daddy Blocked from His Children's Lives. So if you're a father who's unfortunately maybe been through a broken marriage but has problems getting or developing the relationship with your children, this is a great book for you. If you are a woman who is in a relationship with another person that has children, this is a great book for you.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a grandparent, this is an incredible book for you. If you're involved in teaching or mentorship with kids, it gives you a great idea of some things that you may not be thinking about that those children may be going through. So that's why the book is divided up in lessons learned. Matter of fact, you could take one chapter at a time, and it promotes healthy discussion. So I welcome it, and the whole goal is, for example, that two people in a relationship can use it to generate healthy discussions. Chapters are health lessons learned. They're also about courtship. They're also about marriage. They're also about important if your marriage was broken. It talks about that. The other person, the school systems. So it's a wealth of knowledge, and it's a great positive energy about a topic that we really don't speak about.
I want you to, you're going to talk about the book, but something that I say at the back of the book is, no matter what, when, where, or who, he's forever my daddy. So this is something that you want to share from your experience?
Yes. And I like to say that again. When I say no matter what, when, where, or who, he is forever my daddy. And that's what I would want my sons to say. I would want you to be able to look at your children or grandchildren, and they'd be able to say the same thing. Because there's so many fathers out there that aren't in relationships with their children, but I guarantee you they love their children. I know so many fathers and grandparents who love their children, but they are labeled in many cases or don't have the relationship they want.
And why they don't have a relationship, I'm sorry, Shana. Go ahead.
Right. And many times what happens is relationships don't develop when there's obstacles in the way. Some of those obstacles may be the child support. It may be the courtroom. It may be fear. It may be what's highlighted in this book, parental alienation. And what that is it's really what I call a disorder in which a child on an ongoing basis belittles and insults one parent without justification.
The child is belittling the parent?
Yes, in some way. So that's when you get into the definition of parental alienation. But more importantly, here's a great example that I experienced many times. I had a broken marriage early in my children's lives. They were young. But I could see over the years, when I was serving in the Army, I was stationed away from them. So I was in California, and they were in Maryland. But I would take multiple trips to go visit. Well, sometimes when you show up, even though you get on the phone and you tell your children, I can't wait to see you. I'm excited about, even if it's a holiday or Christmas, they're getting excited. And then you fly out there, and then you get there and no one's at home. So now what's happening is those children are gradually starting to think of you in a negative light. They start calling you a liar because you told them you'll be there. And you're not. And then it happens again. Hey, I can't wait to see
you. You think parent alienation is based on what the child is saying? Where do you get this definition from?
Yes. There's multiple studies on what parental alienation is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very interesting because it's a very scientific studies on how children look at their parents or grandparents when they aren't able to develop relationships. Now, highlight is more so the examples of that. What is subtle of it? I don't get into the concrete theory and true definition of it, because you have to have certain steps from a psychological perspective. There's one, two, three, four different things that the children will see, what they may say about the parent, and even some states don't acknowledge it as a diagnosis. Even if you look under the diagnosis code for insurance companies, you will not be able to find parental alienation syndrome, even though it exists. And I've lived through it for multiple years. And I know it's an epidemic. We all have seen it around us. We have friends, people have girlfriends, husbands, wives that have seen elements of parental alienation. So there are books that go into the full theory of it and what it's about. And there are organizations that push to make it a diagnosis code. But what this book focuses on are what we see every day, what we feel every day, what's just around us, just simple stories of unable to see your children.
Before you can tell the story, just I want to tell all the audience, please, you can call, you can share your experience if you have any question. And the number is 347-945-7246. You can call. You don't need to tell you who you are and your name. Just you can ask and share your story. And go ahead.
What I was going to do is I could share one of the things in the book. Early on, I'll just go into a small part of it, but it was a letter I received from one of my sons at an early age. They were 7, 8 years old. And I received a letter in the mail.
And just for clarification,
right,
this is after divorce proceedings have begun, or is this prior to?
No, this is all after. There's no concerns about the divorce process. It was, you had your allocated time. There's no issues with child support, anything of that. It's all about just spending time with your children. And
that all of that had already happened.
Already.
And so, and now at ages of 7 and 8, they write a letter to you.
Correct.
Okay.
That is correct. And even to give you a little more background, they were very young. And this way this book kind of developed was me writing a journal and information in order to, in many ways, cope with many of these experiences. And I looked up, and 10 years, 12 years later, I had a wealth of information that I said I have to share so others can avoid some of the obstacles that I might have experienced.
Sheena, I have a question for you. There was no father's right, no children's right. I mean, he was after divorce, and he not be able to see his children. Nothing can do that the law can force the mother to let Michael to see the children, make other fathers to see the children.
Well, in my experience, it's not always that the father doesn't have a relationship with the children because the other parent or the mother is getting in the way. That is not always the case. But there are some cases where there is some conflict between the parents, and parents cannot get along, and that causes a friction with children. Parents, and I'm going to use parents, you know, because it's not just men, but men are the majority, because there was a period of time when children were assumed to go with, you know, the mother, and now fathers are really stepping up and coming into the fray and becoming more participatory in the process. But having said all that, I think the courts are available to parents to make sure that they have access to their children. I've had experience when fathers believe that really don't have that right, and so it's the lawyer's job or the system's job to empower parents and say, wait a minute, no, you can have access to your children. Child support and other issues are separate from having time with your children. And in the state of Florida gives parents a constitutional right to have access to their children. And that may not be so for every state in the United States or in other countries, but it's really difficult for a family in Florida to cut off another parent without showing a huge, a plethora of evidence of some kind of abuse or some kind of access. And I do have stories of parents who falsely accuse the other, and don't get me wrong, that is causes a lot of friction. But I think we're in a state that really promotes the co-parenting, the shared parental responsibility, which is saying you're a parent, I'm a parent, we get to make decisions together over these children.
And that's one thing I just truly highlight. It's all about that agreement between the parents, and co-parenting is emphasized, and really in more ways than one, because you have so many arms of the family that want to love the child, love the children, that could be affected, whether it's a grandparent, whether it's a cousin or uncle, because many times those limited moments that children are with, say, their father, or whether it's with their mother, you find that those limited moments are when they get to spend time with the grandparent or the mother of that father or the brother of that father. And those are the things we forget, and those are some of the things I highlight to try to help prevent some people or ways to prevent these obstacles from occurring. If you could think ahead of the game and you can learn from others, and you know that you're not alone, it helps you.
One of the questions that I have in the chat box that somebody asked you, Michael, that over the years, what you did to get any kind of contact with your children?
Yes.
And it's, by the way, just let's say to the caller, the one in the chat, it's a great, great question. And please don't hesitate to send us a message in the chat box. Don't hesitate to call and share your story. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Right. What gradually happens in some situations when there's a subtle block from relationships with your children, as what I felt, is that I would spend time with them, but I could see them gradually getting further and further apart as they would get older. So I would still have the weekends I would come in town. I would still, when they were really young, they used to think the Residence Inn was my home, because I would go there, buy the groceries, put everything there, and then we would have an incredible time. And then as some times go, depending if their mother or someone's had a different plan, I may come in town and they may not be there. So it was a gradual, very subtle, and you could see as they were getting older, it's getting a little further away, unable to find out about their tennis games, their basketball games, and I'm trying to reach to the schools. I would reach out, and the schools would kind of turn away from you, like you're non-existent. And so that was very, very challenging, but I would constantly call, leave messages. Even as they got older, I would text and leave a text message every Friday. And many times I wouldn't get a return. Every blue moon, I might get a return. I remember one of the most exciting moments this past year. I was sitting there watching the NCAA tournament.
Okay.
And just thinking what my boys are doing. I know they're watching this game. And I text them both at the same time. And all I remember is Louisville versus, I can't remember who they're playing.
Kentucky.
Right. Exactly. So all I do is text the words in there.
My brother would be very proud of me, right?
That's great.
Go Gator.
And it was so exciting because they both text back one word answers that said Louisville.
Mm.
And I was so excited. I mean, that made my entire week.
Wow.
And
wow.
So what I try to put in this book is I still have the hope. Right now, I can't blame them. They go through things, and they're, in some ways, a victim of circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're waiting to when you could get more time, and hopefully that they could develop in their own eyes, hey, I have a father that loves me.
Did you do something about you get the text? I mean, something happened, like a sparkle. You have something that you can find to talk about one topic. Did you text at this game and start to text them and talk about the games, the other games?
Well, it's interesting. I still follow as much as I can what my sons do. So I go to their school websites. I'll see their sports, their photo. I even order. They would know. But if they ever came to my house, they would see there a giant poster of each of them that I ordered from the school when they're on the tennis team. And they don't know that to this day.
Why don't you text them?
I do text them.
Okay.
I do text them, but it's limited, and I'll tell you why. And this is what's important for a lot of men or women who go through this. It's a very stressful and emotional thing you're dealing with.
Costly.
Yeah.
It's costly.
A lot of money.
It takes you off the beaten path. In many ways, sometimes you're set up for failure. And so you have to stay healthy at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're very cautious about these steps and what's best for you, because if you don't take care of yourself, and you don't have health, you're not going to have a great relationship. You want to be around for them.
Absolutely right.
So can you tell me, do you think the court system which you dealt with failed you?
Yes.
And if so?
Yes. What's challenging is what I like to call targeted professions. Right. Being a surgeon,
mm-hmm.
being a physician, there's a lot of people think you have a lot of capital. So there's different structures for that, which makes it challenging. And that's also for what I can only say, or sometimes you think, why the other person, why agreements can't be made, because many times someone's searching for more, whether it's more money for the children, or they think you're hiding money.
Who's targeting these professions? Spouses or ex-spouses? Or?
Well, I even do a workshop on targeted professions. And in the book, what I highlight is professions on many different levels. And they're, for example, one target may be a professional athlete.
Mm-hmm.
So with a professional athlete, there may be some men or women, because really it happens to all, but we see the numbers more with fathers or male figures, that they can be targeted because they make a certain amount, or they're assumed to make a certain amount of money. It doesn't even happen with, sometimes a target profession is not completely financial. Another example I use is if you're in a small town and that town may only have one road and one school, but guess what? Your father is the mayor of that town and you're the daughter. You can be a targeted person. Say, I want to marry that daughter.
But I don't think you answered my question. How did the court system fail you?
Well, the court system looks, in my opinion,
mm-hmm.
everything's directed at money. The initial issue, money, money, money. The amount
of
time.
So in other words, you're
yes.
saying the parent's rights component is put on the side and the financial support is put up front.
Right.
And so
because
you're the greater income earner, that's all that we're talking to you about. Is that what you're saying?
That's a big part of it, because the focus is what can I get more out of? So quick example. I kind of highlight in the book, there's a chapter on the courtroom. So you want to be prepared, in my opinion, just as much as possible. And that's where you, number one, is as yourself, if you're able to have an attorney, you want to make sure they care about you. And that's what's so important here. You have an attorney that cares about who you are as a person. So that's number one, and that does happen. Two, I always feel or recommend if things can be worked out before getting into a courtroom is even the better.
Right.
And that's where your attorneys, your psychologists, your mediators can make a huge difference.
Mm-hmm.
So what I didn't know from the get-go, what I know now is what's number one is to avoid going in the courtroom.
You didn't know that. Nobody spoke to you about that before?
No, you feel alone.
You had a high conflict litigation case, right? You had a conflict between your former wife or the mother of your children.
Yes.
And she controlled when you saw the children, when you didn't see the children?
Well, I wouldn't say that. It was very subtle because I think my example and story is nothing unique. I think we see it every day around us, and it's very simple. There's a disagreement. One person feels they should get more financially, and you may not have it, and so it's an issue.
Right.
And so you just go through the steps, and as you go through the steps, it costs you money.
Isn't it amazing that it becomes this big whirlpool of cost and financial discussion when the big elephant in the room is the babies?
And they hold it like a hostage. Before, we need to go to the break, unfortunately, but before we're going to go to the break, think about the question, if you can change something over this process, what you can change, and you can answer this question after we're going to come to the break.
Hi, this is Lisa Tarvis. I'm a metaphysician, board-certified holistic health practitioner, energy healer, intuitive, and the author of the book, Just Believe. I'm also a host on the Right Stream Network. My radio show is called Just Believe and airs every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern. Please stop by my website at www.lisatarvis.com. That's LISATARVES. For details on all the services I offer, information on my book, and my radio show. There are many amazing guests and fascinating topics scheduled for the show in the upcoming months. I look forward to connecting with you soon.
What's a flat in a pawn shop to me? So
welcome back, everyone. We're here speaking with Michael Joyner, the author of Forever My Daddy Denied. It's a lively discussion about the struggles parents face when raising children after divorce and how to maintain relationships with them, especially when we're talking about the topic of parent alienation. And you had a question going out.
Yeah, so the question was, if you can change something during this process, what you can change?
Well, when you say change the process, yes. The ultimate dream or what I see be a goal, which I don't think will come because, once again, divorce is a $1 billion industry. So, but standardization can be very helpful. There's many different regulations in different states, of course, and that's where it's important to resource the people around you and where you live.
Mm-hmm.
But ideally, it would be nice if it was so standardized like the IRS. You send in your paperwork, you get the result, there's a standard fee, you know your number, you pay it, no, there's no discussion.
But families are unique, and so because each family is unique, in addition to each state and their set of laws are unique, it's impossible to have
exactly.
that kind of situation.
Exactly. But that's what I would hope for. That's what I would wish.
So here's a question for you.
Yes.
Now, we talked about, you know, your experience with the system where, with the court system where you've been reaching some obstacles in having access to your children. Have you really utilized all resources available to you to assure that you have the relationship you want with your son?
Well, I think it's a great question because it's important for many people when they evaluate and go through situations that are so emotionally trying when you're trying to reach your children when you can't.
Mm-hmm.
At times I would feel like I'm behind a glass wall, screaming, yelling, trying to get my time, my energy, and show my love, and no one hears it. And this has been going on many, many, many years. Mm-hmm. And so I'm one of the persons that has not stopped, never stopped. At times, would need to try to remind myself that I need to take a break to stop the bleeding, whether it's financial, whether it's emotional, and a combination. There were times I was on a plane, and then as soon as I get in the city, I would have headaches, and my heart would palpitate because I had no idea what was going to happen next. Mm-hmm. I mean, I could feel it in my bones, and I kind of talk about that, and that's why to stay healthy through such an emotional time is very challenging.
When you were denied, when you showed up to the front door and there was a note on the door that said, sorry, we've gone to Disney, you know, what did you do? Did you call your attorneys? Did you file motions? What did you do to get
right.
that access that you were rightfully available
exactly.
to?
Exactly. A couple times. I'll give you one example. It's interesting. When you see the cover of the book, the cover, the front cover is a photo of a note I left at the doorstep at my children's home. And I took a picture of that photo, and you see it on the cover. It's the exact photo. I left two messages, and the one on the back cover is what I left. And that was Father's Day weekend. And I said, as you see here, I said, I came to pick you both up for Father's Day weekend. Call me. I love you, Daddy. I never know if they got received that. So this is on the book, so one day they will know that that letter was there.
Sheena, from your experience, that anything the law can do to force the one of the parents to let the children see the father?
Well, there is... in the state of Florida, I'm going to have to limit my conversation to this state. There are statutes that are written to ensure that there's to minimize this kind of abuse. And it does happen. There are people who know how to get around the system.
Right.
But there's statute that's available that allows the parent who has been denied. First of all, if you have an agreement or a final judgment that has a time-sharing schedule that says this is when I have the child, this is when he or she has the child, and that schedule is violated, you have the right to go before the court and file your motion for enforcement and for contempt of the other side and making sure that they comply with the terms of the order. There's also, and within that, you can ask, there's statute that says, if you've been denied, if the court finds that you've been denied, you can ask for make-up time. You can ask for sanctions against the other parent. You can ask for all kinds of remedies available to you to correct and discourage the kind of behavior that tears up families and hurts children.
I just want to share one of the stories that was in my office. It was, I think it was 4 years ago. One of the fathers that he denied to see his child, the same zip code. And one of the suggestions says, pick a day, and he was picking Tuesday. Pick a time, and he was picking the time, and say, text your child every Tuesday. And he did it almost a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I'm tired. I have no response. Just every Tuesday at the same time. And when he called me, it was a big testimony, one of the organizations, when he said, this child, one day, the child responds, he texts back, he says, hi, and then we start texting. And he said, you know, after so many years, it was the first time the child just say Happy Father's Day. So I think that, I know it's very exhausting, I think you're tired, emotionally, financially, you're bleeding, you don't want to do, but I think the children expect for the parents, don't give up. Show that you want us. I'm telling you, I tell everybody, try to do anything to communicate with the child, because sometimes the children say, all right, because sometimes the children feel like a hostage. They don't know what to do. They're still at the middle between the mother, between the father, between the mother. They know what to do, what the right thing to do, and until they're going to go to college or their own. But right now, with the cell phone, with the communication, they'll be able to communicate. So.
But even with that, I think children are very intelligent beings, and they get to understand. And as time goes on, they understand who really was the manipulator and who was really trying to reach. And I say to the listeners out there, you know, don't give up, but also give your children credit, because they will come around and they will get to know if you are truly genuine in your pursuit of their relationship with them. It'll happen. But I do know a lot of parents who do not want that kind of relationship. And the parent and the children know that you really don't want that. It has nothing to do with mom. It has nothing to do with dad. It's just you aren't there for me.
Yeah. But you need to know, you're absolutely right, but you need to know the children are going to take the victim side. They know exactly what's going on. They know exactly who's wrong, who's right. But because of the children, they're always taking the...
Well, that depends on who the victim is.
Yeah.
Some people are going to say, they're the victim.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, let me share a quick story, which is, I think was monumental. During this book, the writing process, I happened to be, one day after work, sitting out with a good friend of mine. And at that time, I received a phone call with my editor, and Byron Larson, he's in Santa Barbara, California, and we were on the phone, we were talking about the book, and my good friend overheard part of the conversation, and he said, when I got off the phone, he said, oh, I didn't know you were writing a book. And I said, oh, yes, and I have a foundation, I've been working on this, we still have a ways to go. And he said, well, guess what? I was one of those kids.
Mm, wow.
And that moment, I said, I can't believe this. So tell me more. And he said his story, and you'll get pieces of this in the book. He said, I remember I graduated from school. He graduated from high school.
Mm-hmm.
But he wanted to go on a trip with some of his friends. And he didn't want to call his father, but he wanted some money to go on this trip. And he said, you know, I'm going to call my father. He called him. He said, Dad, I just need some money for this trip. And his father said one thing, because I plan to use this same thing. His father said, he said, I'll give you the money. You just have to spend a weekend with me where I go on an event. I think it was like a fraternity. He goes every year to
mm-hmm.
convention. So he said, okay. So he went with him on that weekend trip. And during that weekend, what he saw, he expressed to me, he said, I saw my father in an environment where everybody loved him.
Mm-hmm.
People were coming to him, shaking his hand, how have you been? This is your son. Oh, my God, he's so big. I haven't seen him in years. He's a man. that energy was just all the positive energy around his father that he finally was exposed to. Then, during that weekend, he would ask a couple questions and even ask from what years ago. He said, remember that those shoes I asked for and I never got? Or and the bike?
Right.
And the father said, I did send those to you.
Right.
And he never knew. But guess what? To this day, they do that trip every year.
Amazing.
So his relationship developed later, but he has a strong relationship. And I said, that story gave me so much hope. And then you kind of, yes, I didn't get to have the father, I didn't get to have the relationship that I dreamed about, where I wanted to be the father at the baseball games. I wanted to be the
right.
father that would pick the kids up and have them with me at my Super Bowl party. Those are the dreams I always had that have been shaken. So now all I can do is grab a piece of hope that maybe a new relationship will develop later. And that's what I try to feed in here and also feed into the book, that if we could prevent any of this from happening, let's try to do that.
I believe in empowering parents. And I think it's really important to know that there are avenues for you. And I push my clients all the time. You have to have a relationship. I don't care what she says, you go and have your time, enforce your agreement, make sure you have pick up that child, show up. When that agreement says it's every other Friday night, show up. You don't get the child, we'll deal with that legally, but the child needs to know that you came, and whatever issue that adults can't resolve that has nothing to do with them. One of the biggest problems in divorce and custody battles is talking to the children about details of the litigation and telling them things that have nothing to do with them, that they don't, their little ears don't need to hear.
Exactly.
And it's a huge problem.
Sheena, I have a question. What about grandparents' rights?
Well, that's a very sticky issue. In the state of Florida, there are no such thing as grandparent rights, because the state of Florida really puts forward the parent has a fundamental right to have a relationship with their child, and so putting forth anyone else, a grandparent, before that parent is a violation of the Florida Constitution. So there's a conflict with granting grandparents' rights and the parents' rights in the state of Florida.
I think we have a caller.
All right.
Let's see. Yeah. So...
good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. This is Family Power Hour, and you on air.
I just wanted to say thanks for having this topic on the air. I think it's a really important topic. I think it's really sad and unfortunate, I guess, when children are caught up in the middle of issues that adults have with each other. And then it's very unfortunate, the kind of things that happen out of that. And I'm really glad to hear discussion about this and see that there's a book out there that talks about this. Hopefully this will be a huge support for fathers and men out there.
Yeah, and again, it's a book. They have so many chapters that you guide you. When you read it, what you need to do, just a lot of information that start to find yourself the same as Dr. Michael been find himself. But
once again, the name of the book is Forever My Daddy Denied. It's a hardcover book you'll be finding. And aren't you having a book signing?
Let's just say thank you. Thank you so much for the call, and have a very good evening.
Okay, thanks. You too.
Thank you for sharing. Yes, Forever My Daddy Denied is in softback. It's in the hardcover. It's also on Amazon.com. It's on Barnes & Noble with the Nook as well as the Kindle version. So there's a lot of ways to access it. We'll be having a book signing November 22nd, Friday, in Delray Beach, California at Kennedy's All-American Barbershop. And that will be from 3 to 6 p.m. So listen out. You can go to the ForeverMyDaddy.com website to hear more.
And it's going to be on our Family Power, our Facebook page. But I just want, before the caller, then just about the parent, the grandparenting right.
Mm-hmm.
So the same law is about parental rights. It's the same in Florida and the same in Maryland. I mean, you have your mother that she is able to see the grandchildren.
Right. Grandparents are such an important part of our culture. I think they are still the cornerstone of the community in so many different ways. And in the foundation, the title of the foundation is FMD Grand. It's Forever My Daddy Grand. The Grand stands for grandparents. And that's why we have both men and women in the organization. And what you find is there are many grandparents that one, such as my mother, would have the pain of watching their son go through this.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're going through a lot at the same time. And we also find that their time with their grandchildren are limited, unfortunately, as well. I mean, it's sad that my sons have never seen my mother's home in Los Angeles, California. And they would be shocked to walk in and see photos of them at different ages of their lives right next to photos of myself or my brother. Or those family outings, those holiday events when they're not there. And so one thing I do highlight as well, and when we talk about preventing these things from happening, when we talk about access or time with your children, and when you're making those agreements, whether it's with a mediator or whether it's a prenuptial agreement, trying to find ways to avoid situations like this happening, I say take it one step further in visitation or access. Don't go with the standard agreement and say, oh, okay, you have them every other summer, you have them every other, you have them this Thanksgiving and next Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
No, you need to take it one step further. If you are a person that watches the Super Bowl, guess what? Super Bowl weekend, you need it. If your mother celebrates her birthday, guess what? You need a weekend on your mother's birthday. How about your birthday? Add that in there. I want that weekend. Because what's going to happen in many situations, if it doesn't fall on that, no matter what you have planned, chances are they're going to say, no, this is not going to happen, especially if you don't have a very co-parenting relationship that you want or push for. So you want to put things in place to avoid situations like that, avoid the heartache, avoid the emotion, avoid the pain that you go through. I wrote it here, holidays. I mean, it was one of the, supposed to be the happiest days, but they were so hurtful. You know, I didn't have my son there. And then to see my mother have a dinner festivity and all my brother's sons or daughters are there, but guess what? I don't have mine.
Yeah, I think it's very important to be very specific into any agreement that you have. And if you're going to court, if it ends up that you need to go to court, you ask the court, ask the judge, can I have this holiday? And the court may ask you, you know, why? What's the significance? And they'll think about it. But for you, for the parents, in the state of Florida, it's going to be for the parents. It's not going to be, oh, this is my grandmother's or my mother's birthday. The judge is not necessarily going to award it that way. But if you have an annual family reunion and you say, Your Honor, this is something important, get it in there. Get it in front of them or put it in that agreement so that it's protected.
So what I heard from you, that's when people get the divorce, because of you dealing, you're forcing the parents to have the right to see the children. I mean, you give the parents information what to do, because Michael said that he didn't have any knowledge. So somehow, I didn't understand, your lawyer didn't tell you what you need to do or the information,
And you said, Sheena, that's what you're doing with your clients.
Right. Yeah, in general in Florida.
Yes.
Yeah. It would be hard-pressed to find an attorney who practices family law who doesn't advise a client of a timesharing schedule that makes sense for their family, which means talking about the family reunions and talking about the different holidays. But just if I could finish, sometimes parents go without an attorney and they kind of go and blindly, and you have the right to do it, to go in and work out an agreement with the other party, and then whatever agreement you work out with, you're stuck with unless there's a real good reason to change it. So I would advise anybody listening or anybody concerned, consult somebody. Consult a professional.
I'm sitting here with you, you know, and I know you for so many years, and I heard your story, and you're not alone in this story, and I know that you're the best attorney, family attorney here around.
Thank you,
doctor,
for that wonderful endorsement.
And it's true, you know, it's true. And but I'm thinking about the children, you know. I'm dealing with when people are getting divorced or after divorce, and the only side I think is the children's side. Think about what you're doing to your child. Think about how he's going to grow. Think about what he's going to think about you. Think about that. Leave the fight between two of you out of the door. Think about your child, your children, because when you conceive the child, you know, there's no doubt that you didn't think that sometime you're going to divorce and it's thing happened. You don't need to force yourself to be married to this person you don't like it, but think about the children. One of the questions I have, you know, it's a great topic, but one of the questions, so many people listen to you. We have a lot of on the chat, and people ask questions. What do you tell people? What do you want to accomplish in this hour? It's not enough this hour, but what do you want to educate people there?
Well, to be...
Besides the way the book, and besides it's an amazing book,
right.
But from your experience.
Right, but it's so important because... one thing also try to do here, because I just feel the information is just so, so important. We're really trying to get preventive measures. So I say both who you are in a relationship with, or you both read the chapter and discuss things. And that's how it's kind of divided up. You could go pick a topic and just begin healthy discussions. So you could talk about those things now, even before you have children. An example I like to give is many instances when there's a family, and say, we use an example of the mother, and if they're very close with their family who's in a different city, mm-hmm. and you have young children, and the marriage, say, doesn't work, many times they will gravitate to that city for their, and you can understand why. They have the support mechanisms there. But if you're in one spot and you're tied to your job or to a military or to an obligation, that can be very challenging because you might not be thinking, they're not thinking about you. And so if you start a healthy discussion, even before it happens, you both might learn something about each other, and it may help in the future. So it's all about preventive, or really sharing and really know what you're getting into. And it's okay to have healthy discussions about all this. It's okay to have a healthy discussion about agreements before a marriage. There's nothing wrong with that. And if someone is not going to speak about it, then that may give some information to you.
There was any number that you could give our callers that after the show they want to ask questions, they want to know, because I want to give two numbers. So, Sheena, can you give your number,
well,
please?
Well, let him ask.
Yeah, all right.
Well, I like to give the email because it's the best way for
okay.
me and for the organization, and it's mj@fmdgrand.org.
That's, can you repeat again, please?
mj@fmdgrand.org. And you can get there directly from the website, forevermydaddy.com as well.
Good. This is a great tip. And please give your number.
Yes. You can contact me at 954-783-9737.
I did have one more question for you.
And let me just give my number. Can you repeat the number, but just can you repeat your number, please?
954-783-9737.
And my number is 561-271-7106. And you have another question.
Yeah, I wanted to find out about your followers and people who've benefited from your book or in discussions with you and so forth.
Yes. It's been very positive, and now I'm starting to receive some calls from different states across the U.S. and people sharing their stories. Last week I had a grandparent that called me and had some questions, and what we were able to do is just put her in the right direction. And that she was in the state of Pennsylvania. She was in Pennsylvania. And so that's what the foundation is becoming more and more. It's like a resource. And if you have questions, just so you know you're not alone, come speak to us. Reach out. And maybe we could put you to somebody who's been through the same thing or someone at your nature, to a true psychologist, or to a family lawyer that cares. That can make a huge difference. And one thing I do want to share, one thing about the foundation is that, and it's very unique because we talked about grandparents. I mean, we try to do a Father's Day event every year. We do an event in the fall.
And you have one in October.
Well, it's tied in initially with the book signing as well. Well, what we do, we have an incredible gift card program, and it's the only one I'm aware of that exists, that is a child support gift card program.
Mm-hmm.
And what that's all about, and I think a lot of grandparents really like it, what happens is, I know, I've been through it. You would just love to send, whether you send something extra or send some money, but you can't go to your father or mother in general, and you don't want to be looked at as a deadbeat. If you ask anybody, hey,
right,
can I get $100 for child support?
Right.
You know what? You just feel you don't do that. So how can we get across, how can we get over that? One way to do it is, hey, for my birthday, hey, why don't you give me an FMD Grand gift card?
Oh, nice.
And so, say your mother or your father, they'd be like, okay, I'll give you a gift card. You go online, you purchase it. Say you give a $50 gift card. So they have up to a year to use that gift card.
Hmm.
And so...
So does the gift card go to the mom or does it go to the child?
The gift card only goes to registered state child support.
So it goes to the depositories of the different states.
Exactly.
And in the name of the payer.
Right. You have
to.
So when you claim your gift card,
mm-hmm,
you have to give us your case number and the state. And we will send on behalf of that person who gave it to you money directly to that state. So that way, as a parent or grandparent, one, you know that $50 is only going towards
child
support.
Wow.
And two, being on the other side, you can ask in a subtle way, yes, can you help me out?
Thanks,
I appreciate
Mom,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
it's
a great idea, and all the information is going to be on your website and our Family Power, our Facebook page. And before we say thank you, we have a big thing. To the last week guest, Mr. Ron Lewis, he's a great attorney, and he specializes in finance matter. It's bankruptcy, real estate, federal tax, and corporate law, and you can reach him on 561-367-1771. You can listen to the episode on the Facebook. He gave us a lot of advice. And our next topic, you know, we're dealing with families and children. It's going to be Peter Robinson. He's Director of Community Outreach for PFLAG Broward. He will discuss the upcoming struggles of gay youth until they develop resolution for out there in the family. And we're talking about, can you continue, please?
Yes, reactions of those families and how they learn
of their child's sexual orientation and gender identity. Oh, this has been a fascinating discussion. Thank you so much, Dr. Jordan, for coming out and sharing what you've learned, your experience, telling us about your book and about your foundation. Tell me the name of the foundation again.
FMDGrand.org, right. Yeah.
And I love the gift card idea because, you know, you got to where I was going, you know, because it could be considered a gift to children, but the way you set it up, you did it smart.
Yeah,
you did it very smart.
Well,
very
you.
Good.
Yeah, it goes direct to the children and nobody else. Thank you so much. It was a great. Thank you, Sheena. And you can find Sheena at...
Yes, you can find me at Sheena B-Y, S-B Wise at wiselawoffice.com, or you can tweet me at S-B Law Wise, and also with Billy.
You can find me at Billy Eisenberg, 561-271-7106, and B Eisenberg at Gmail, Dr. B Eisenberg at gmail.com.
And I just want to say thank you for having me here. I mean, this is incredible. Just to open up these discussions is just enlightening. I'm very happy about that, and thank you for allowing me to be a part
thank
of it.
Thank you for sharing your story because it was very important. If someone for the listener just get any good advice, we need our share. And have a very good evening. It was sunny.
We really enjoyed you,
yeah.
too.
Thank you very much.
Thank you
so much.
Lively conversation.
Have a very good evening.
Good
thank
night,
you. Good night.